Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thursday, that's right, Thursday night, coming to you live, April 8th, Wrestling Inc. It was night two of NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver. I'm Justin Labar. He's Alfred Kunover from Forbes.com. They had to follow a pretty big night one. And Alfred, when you look at night two and you look at social media and the biggest complaint, the biggest bitch was about somebody changing their entrance music, I think you're doing all right.
Yeah, they did fine. I mean, they did the best they could. I just thought night one was such a perfect show that it might not be fair to compare a night two to that. But damn if they didn't try, because there was some crazy stuff on this show. There's a lot of stuff that I absolutely loved. You know, we might want to get to it later. I didn't know if this was a superior show, but I mean, they had the benefit of being on Peacock, so being longer, being able to do much more. And I thought they did just fine for a night two show, given how great night one was.
I agree. I think if I was to try to summarize, I would say night one, start to finish, was more consistently up here on the graph. But I think tonight and night two, when they got to their high points, they were at maybe the highest points of these last two nights, if that makes sense. So, yeah, a lot to kind of unpack tonight, as Alfred just mentioned, on Peacock. So no, the time constraint's not there in terms of having to be out by hard time. So this show went just the main show itself, not counting the pre-show, the main show itself, going about 2 hours and 40 minutes. So 40 minutes longer than we thought. That made the main event match. It was part of a double main event. I did not necessarily predict Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly being the last match of the night, but that's how it went down, and probably justified, which we will get to. Of course, we encourage your super chats. We love that you guys are taking place going on in the comment section. We welcome everybody from YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, whatever platform you're watching on. We appreciate you staying up with us here tonight, especially if you're on the East Coast. So let's kick it off with the main show. And we're kicking off with the Cruiserweight Unification title match. And it's done via ladder. We got Santos Escobar, who has been the recent, the interim, if you will, Cruiserweight champion, up against the original Jordan Devlin Cruiserweight champion. As you might recall, a year ago when the pandemic hit, Jordan Devlin stranded internationally. So basically had to kind of just vacate or forfeit or put on hiatus his Cruiserweight title. So we have the old Shawn versus Razor unification here, Alfred. And I'll tell you, my prediction going into this, I thought Jordan Devlin. My thought process behind this was Devlin was, again, their original Cruiserweight champion. Now that they have him back, they want to get back on a momentum. But that did not happen. We ended up seeing Santos Escobar get the win. So that tells me Santos Escobar, he's earned a spot. He's impressed in the interim.
Yeah, I was so happy to see Santos Escobar win this match. I thought this was a different type of ladder match. I loved Santos Escobar's psychology, how he approached this ladder match, because there's a lot of what I call dumb guy spots that have to happen in ladder matches, where you have to pretend like you're climbing slowly, you get the tightly up to touch it, but there was none of that from Santos Escobar, or very little, because he would move the ladders away from where the belt was to make sure that Jordan Devlin didn't get it. There were times where he'd be climbing the ladder, he would see Jordan Devlin move, he'd come back down and beat him up to make sure he was out. So it was like he was a defensive player playing defense with this ladder, actually trying to win a ladder match. So maybe they did have some really great spots in this match, but maybe it wasn't like Sean versus Razor, which was what the storyline is being compared to. But I absolutely loved how Santos Escobar approached this. It was a breath of fresh air to see.
No, that's a great point. And that, because that isn't oftentimes kind of like a, if you watch a ladder match with a casual, like a friend who's not a regular wrestling viewer, they go, why don't they just run up the ladder right now? It's like the video game, just press X real fast, you'll be up there and you got it. You know, this match did lack a little bit of like, for a certain time, you know, there were some cool spots, but at some point it was kind of like, all right, well, Devlin's coming back. He's trying to get his title back, but like, I didn't feel like a ton of heat. It was just, so I was happy to see that we saw Joaquin Wilde and Marlon Mendoza come out and help and 301. Cause I felt that kind of like gave me the reminder of, oh yeah, this is who I'm supposed to be booing. This is who I'm supposed to be cheering for. And also, but they did a huge spot, Devlin coming off of the ladder that Escobar ultimately went on, getting thrown off and going through and cracking another ladder that was set up in the corner. So pretty one of the more devastating ladder breaks that we've ever seen. And we've seen a couple of them over the years with the Hardys and such. But I thought this was a great way to start it. Again, like I said yesterday on night one, how you start these shows is as important as how you end them.
And you're absolutely right about this match not having heat. I actually thought that stuck out like a sore thumb, A, because it's like it was heel versus heel, essentially. But the fans seemed to really be behind Santos Escobar, who was a bigger heel in this match. And B, because when the match started, it was like chain wrestling, mat wrestling, hip toss. They're working this match, you know, like it was just like a regular wrestling match, even though you knew they were going to get to the ladder. And a lot of time passed. Enough time passed where I was like, man, so they're really not going to use these ladders until they have to climb them? Are they trying to do something different? But they eventually got to them. But yeah, I agree. The heat in this match was lacking early, but they really made up for it toward the end.
$5 from Alejandro Villarreal. He says, I feel NXT did what the name of the show said. It stand and deliver. The psychology of the both main events was just amazing. Yeah, certainly a very fitting observation with the name, stand and deliver. Krana Shaw, $2. Santos Escobar saying, I cabron. He's so good. Yeah, when he landed on the ladder or something, he had a he took the nasty bump and he was in some pain and letting the Spanish.
That was one of my favorite spots too. I'm glad they picked up on it and it earned a super chat.
Me too, because I forgot to write that down, and that's a good catch. Good, you guys are being good producers here, helping us unpack all of this because there's a lot to get to. So he stands tall at the entranceway with the rest of the group, and he has a son out there, and he gives a son one of the cruiserweight title belts. So I mean, a feel good moment for if anybody who's a just a feel good moment, just in general. You don't have to be a dad, but I mean. You know, he is the heel. It's kind of like, why is he getting to do this? But I guess, you know, I'm not going to rain on the kids' parade. But
yeah, and I mean, he's got his goons out there. He was acting like a heel the whole time. He's such a great heel, too. So to see that, yes, it was heartwarming, but I really hate how, you know, when somebody plays such a great heel and you get to see that human moment, it's like, yeah, that's great. But man, like, kind of ruining your gimmick here.
Right. Pete Evans, $2.99. Santos Escobar is the one. Take the strap off.
I guess he's saying Karrion Kross. Oh. I had a good problem with that, by the way.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to talk about with Karrion Kross and just the entire top of the card of NXT. Once we get through this night, we can kind of try to fantasy book where we might be headed into the new WWE calendar year, which always resets after Mania. Okay, up next we got a fun little backstage with MSK. They find out that their first number one contenders are going to be Killian Dain and Drake Maverick, who won a match on the pre-show, and MSK, of course, cool with that. They said they fought in the Dusty Classic. Of course, this is a baby versus baby situation, so no real bashing here, just a lot of goofy fun. MSK was asked their predictions by Mackenzie Mitchell for a couple of big matches, and they both simultaneously kept saying the opposite. So they were not on the same page for that, but they are still on the same page as far as being champions, and we're very happy and look like they're about to go off and smoke. So
they deserve it. Way no choice for Killian Dain and Drake Maverick to be the number one contenders. I was thinking that Legado del Fantasma, since they didn't get pinned, maybe. And I mean, they look so spectacular that I would love to see that match get run back. But whatever, I'd be fine with seeing Drake and Dain too.
I agree with you. Like I said yesterday, because MSK had pinned Grizzled Young Veterans, I thought there was just the obvious case for Fantasma. But you know, who's to say we won't get to that here sooner or later. Maybe they figured Dain and Drake a little bit more of a comedy act, so MSK can kind of go through them a little bit and have a couple nice early wins as champions. Gary Rush, both nights were awesome. Also, RIP DMX. Did he just pass? Man.
That sucks.
Oh, wow. Talk about finding out live. Oh, my God. Well,
yeah, what a bummer.
Yeah. Jeez.
Great rapper. Hell of a rapper. I mean, hell of a musician, hell of a guy. It sucks, man. One of my personal favorites, period.
Yeah, Stevie, $5. RIP to DMX. He just passed away. Wow. That is... All right, well, that just kind of brought the mood down here for a minute. Well, rest in peace to him and his family. That's...
Yeah. RIP.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for letting us know. Please don't pay any more money to tell us that.
Yeah.
All right, let's go into the NXT Women's Tag Team Title matches. We have The Way, Candice LeRae, and Indi Hartwell. They're going up against Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart. This match, you know, not a bad match. Pretty much what stole the conversation is Shotzi doing the Tope suicide dive and basically just 7-10 splitting in between Indi and Candice, just front flips and into the barricade, into the plexiglass. Is okay by all signs. She got back up and kept moving, but it was scary. Even after showing the replay, when I already see that she has gotten up, even when they showed the replay, it was just. And this is not the first one, Alfred. This is like
this is not the second one. This is not the third one. This is not the fourth one. Shotzi is one of my personal favorites on NXT, man or woman, and I don't want to see her doing these tapes anymore. I mean, the fact that she's gotten lucky a couple times is like a one in a million things. The fact that she's had this many close calls without suffering a serious injury is a miracle. And I don't know what it is, if it's her body control or whatnot, but we've had a lot of these moments where she's that close to breaking her neck. And if she keeps doing this without addressing these problems that she has with her body control, obviously, something bad's going to happen. And I just don't, like, my heart is always in my throat when she does these dives. And half the time, she justifies it by almost killing herself.
Yeah, I cringe on her dives almost as much, maybe even more, to when Big E does that spot where he does this, when the opponent is standing on the apron and he spears them and he takes himself out with them. And I'm just like, dude, you're just one wrong just shift of the body weight away from just spiking your head into the ground. And I mean, it, like when he does it, it looks cool. It looks brutal. And once he's survived it, I'm like, oh, that was an amazing. But every time he does it, I just tense up. I'm sure he's going to do it at WrestleMania. He's got a big singles match. I'm sure it's going to happen. And the Nigerian drum fight.
We'll do it for a drum.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll get to our Mania picks before the night's out here, since Alfred and I will be doing Mania Night 1. I don't know what a Nigerian drum fight is. I don't know if you...
Me neither. Okay. I'm from Liberia. I still don't know what a Nigerian drum fight is.
I didn't know. I see. I didn't know if you had like a rule book for me or something.
No. Yeah. I'll try to find out. But yeah, we're all in the dark with this Nigerian drum fight.
All right. Well, good to know. So back to the tag match. Hartwell and Shotzi, they're going back and forth. Shotzi with an enziguri. Ember Moon tags in. She goes to the top. Hits the double eclipse. But just before she does that, Shotzi tags herself back in. So Ember hits the double eclipse, which I think is probably the best finisher there is right now. Even though, yeah, it's probably one of the best finishers. Shotzi, she's legal. She goes up to the top. Hits the flying senton on Hartwell. And that's the victory for Shotzi, Blackheart, and Ember Moon. Again, a fun match. I mean, probably if I had to say out of the, I think, five matches on tonight's card, this is probably the least, but that's not to be a rip on it. Just if you have to pick something out of the five to be the lowest, this is the lowest for me in terms of interest or magnitude.
Yeah, especially last night. I just thought what made last night's show so great is that every match had a tough act to follow. Like by the end of every match, I was like, man, how are they going to follow that? And they did, with every single match followed the one before it. And this is the first time between these two shows that did not happen, that you could see a noticeable dip between the first and the second match.
Yeah, I agree. Going back to that opener, Terry Allen Jr., $5.01, saying Santos hesitated, in my opinion, to grab the belt. The landing maybe wasn't what was supposed to be the outcome. So I did notice. So Devlin goes off and crash lands into the other ladder. Pretty brutal. Santos did hesitate. I mean, I don't know if he was looking at the Wolf Bean. I don't know if he was trying to like really soak in. He knows the camera's going to be on him now, so he's selling what he just had to do to this man. Or if it might have been just something literally as simple as he was a little uncomfortable balanced up that high because I think he was supposed to go another rung higher, because normally they have it now where these belts hang on this WWE gold truss, and you just unhook the truss and now you have the belts. Because then they started doing this years ago because guys would try to grab the belts and they flimble and fumble and the belt would fall and it'd kill the whole finish. So like he undid both belts, and then even trying to post with the hard camera, Alfred. I don't know if you caught it. Like, he was kind of a little unsteady. Yeah. So I actually think it was more of him just trying to make sure he didn't blow his big finish by falling off the ladder himself, honestly.
Be careful. Yeah, I felt like there was going to be more to the match just based on how he was hesitating toward the end. So I did feel like that was kind of awkward.
Yeah, but glad that other people are catching these observations. So, yeah, so the opening two matches, again, hot start, a fine follow-up. So we get some backstage shots of Balor and Cross. They're, of course, preparing. We get a little recap of Bronson Reed, how he got to be the number one contender for this North American title match. We also see NCAA standout wrestler Danny Hodge award recipient Gable Stevenson. He's at ringside. He's getting the plug. He's got Stephanie McMahon next to him. Again, given the fun facts about him. So we've seen NXT do this. This is kind of part of their presentation for takeovers as new signees. They like to show them in the crowd. We've seen it with Riddle. We've seen it with a lot of guys, Keith Lee. So obviously highlighting Gable Stevenson, somebody big they have in their future. I don't know where he is in his timeline though, Alfred. I mean, he's pretty fresh off the NCAA
yes.
amateur wrestling scene. So I think he's got a little bit of more training time to do versus some of the other signees they put in these crowd situations who are ready to debut, the next month.
Right. He's definitely not at that place. He's very, very young, but he might be the best amateur wrestler in the whole world. And he's phenomenal athlete with a good personality. So I'm very excited about him. There's Kurt Angle type of bona fides in terms of a guy who's that good of an athlete with a good personality. If you follow him on Twitter, he's a pretty funny guy, very entertaining. And I think he's got a big future in terms of just his accolades, the fact that they're high on him. We'll see how he takes to the actual wrestling of it, because Kurt Angle, I think, took to it faster than anybody in history. So that's not a fair comparison from that standpoint. But I'm really excited that they locked him down, because he could have been going to UFC. There were some UFC unit rumors just based on how dominant of a wrestler he is.
Oh, wow. Well, he had some serious size. He looked just standing there. He looked he's got the size. I think I remember hearing Angle recently on his new podcast saying something to where they had a pitch at one point for Angle to, I think, manage Matt Riddle. I could certainly buy in if you still have Kurt Angle in your family, in your universe, that saddling him with a him of 20 years later would be something of note. I got a super chat here. Kelvin Alexander, $5. Thank you, Kelvin. It says Gable Stevens just made the US Olympic team. All right. So yeah, so this kind of feels this feels like Kurt Angle, Mark Henry, they're getting in early, or not early, but they're getting in on the right time of an athlete who can make a lot of noise and bring a lot of credibility and attention to their brand, and they can really do something with. So that's good information. Thank you, Kelvin. All right, so we do get the North American title match, Bronson Reed versus Johnny Gargano, and again, this match had a lot going on in it. I mean, in terms of this match went longer than I expected. It did have shades of what Matt said to us yesterday, that this would be if Johnny, doing a lot of bumping, which that was definitely the first part of it. He was doing a lot of bumping, flopping around for Bronson. But, Bronson Reed, they were halfway through the match. He kicks out at a one count. Ultimately, Bronson goes for a moonsault, which he misses. Johnny has outside help and aid from Austin Theory. Johnny had to hit two of his one final beat finishes to finally get the pinfall on Bronson Reed. So, I mean, this, in my mind, Alfred, Johnny Gargano retains, which is the right move, but he did everything he could while still retaining to elevate Bronson Reed. I mean, I was a fan of Bronson going into this, but I truly felt like he came out on the next level.
100%. I mean, so much so that I thought the wrong man won, actually. I really don't have that much of a problem with Johnny Gargano winning, but I thought Bronson Reed was so great in this match that I'm just this is his night. This is the guy who should win. And what I loved about this match is we were talking about it last night about how they were going to kind of make this work with the little guy and a big baby face. And I think the direction they went was so perfect because he really worked over his midsection. And last night's match, Bronson Reed took that ugly bump on the apron, followed by a 450 splash. So it makes complete sense that his ribs, not only his ribs, but his back also would be hurt. So the fact that Johnny Gargano targeted that, and that's how they had him sell, and they kind of talked up the fact that he wasn't going to be 100%, I thought was great storytelling. For me, this was actually the match of the night because just how much I got into it. But it's also, this match, this card was so loaded, and there are so many great matches that had that claim to match of the night that, that might be a controversial take. But I really love this match. I just thought these two worked so perfectly together. And I think that, in a main event capacity, getting that Johnny takeover match with Bronson Reed chasing that title, and if Bronson Reed wins in a main event, we might be talking about the match of the year.
Sure. And thank you for bringing that up. That's right. He is selling the midsection a lot. That was one thing I did notice, though. He's the first half of the match in commentary did a great point, a great part in narrating and making sure you followed along with this. I did think that as the pace picked up and the spots, it really started picking up in the falsies. I did remember at one point saying to myself, all right, Bronson, I haven't seen you clutch your midsection in a couple moves, and you've been throwing Johnny around. So maybe that's just, a younger performer, and this is, again, us being nitpicky, but I did feel like he started getting wrapped up and trying to hear the spots or remember the spots or however they called the match, and then he started forgetting to, still got to sell. But, again, this is nitpicky stuff, and I guess we got to find nitpicky stuff because so much of the show is so damn gleaming positive.
Yeah, and he also had a spot. He did drop Johnny while they were on the top, like doing a Hurricane Rana type transition that I think that was a mistake.
Is that when he went into the cartwheel?
It was before that. No, it was after that. It was okay. I guess he just dropped him and I just jumped on him. It was pretty awkward. And then he had to pick him back up and do a power bomb. So, I mean, this wasn't a perfect match by any means, but just in terms of getting me invested in the spots that they were doing, it's so crazy how high Bronson Reed can get in the air for how big he is. Like, I've never seen, especially that moonsault. Usually when big guys do a moonsault, you have to kind of grade it on a curve because it can only get so high. He literally jumped in the air and did a moonsault as big as he is. And I thought it was just phenomenal.
No, I agree. I mean, I know we had this debate last night with Matt, and he's not here to further defend himself. He doesn't quite get Bronson, but again, right, guys of that size to move like that, and I know he's a fan of Bam and Bigelow. I think they've cited it on commentary. Mm-hmm. I've said it, yeah, in the cartwheel, right, and that hits home to me because when I was a kid growing up, and I got to. And my grandfather was working as a promoter and such in Maryland. One of the guys who was around a couple shows that I got to get the note was Bam Bam Bigelow. So I have just a fond memory as a kid of seeing this big guy larger than life, tattooed on bald head, and then being up close and watching him do some of the stuff I'd seen on TV, but being up close as a kid and watching, whether it be in rehearsals or watching the actual match, I've always just had a certain affinity and appreciation for the late Bam Bam Bigelow. So then to see somebody who has that same athleticism, but maybe even more so, and is even bigger in terms of how he's built it wider, than Bam Bam. Bronson Reed's just so impressive to me. So yeah. Overall, a lot was accomplished here. I'm really looking forward to next Tuesday to see where Bronson Reed goes next. Does he get to continue to chase Johnny Gargano or what they do? But definitely a match worth checking out. Michael Sachs Jr., $2. He goes, how far away is Parker Boudreau? So yeah, talking about in the world of prospects coming up, Parker Boudreau. He's the NCAA Division I football player who was playing, I think, for Central Florida or South Florida. And he just said, I'm up and done. He could have gone to the NFL if he wanted to, but he decided to choose pro wrestling. So I think he has been training longer than Stevenson has. And it seems like he is a little bit closer. And he's got everybody calls him Brock Lesnar Jr.
Yeah. And for that reason, I think they might, even if he's not ready, they might rush him. That might be a little bit of a rush job. I don't think it's going to be anytime soon, but I think it's definitely going to be sooner than Gable. And it'll be one of those things where, like you said, every time you see him, he's compared to Brock Lesnar. So they're just going to see these grand designs and potential. And I hope they don't rush him too quickly, but he does look like a guy who's very impressive.
Yeah. I hope we don't try. I mean, it's fun to he looks like Brock. He's Brock Jr. But let's not saddle, we saddled Paul, WCW saddled Paul White to be Andre's son.
Yeah.
Let's not do that. Let's just let him be. If people can draw their own comparisons to the look, but let's let him be his own person.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we get into the first of the two main event matches as they build a co-main event here. And the first one being the NXT title match, champion Finn Balor going up against Karrion Kross. So we'll try to set the scene here, just the things that happen here. We have, they show the backstage, which I always love, the doom, 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 doom. Kross is backstage and warm-ups constantly stay in the black and white. He gets his entrance with Scarlett. I'm going to pause here with Finn's entrance, Alfred. They did this thing where they have the LED boards around the Capitol Wrestling Center, and they have this dramatic music. They're showing these pictures of Finn. Then they show a demon photo, and then we cut back to Finn.
Right?
Was I being presumptuous in the way they did that? It was kind of are we supposed to? I started expecting the demon here.
Listen, man, I'm a grown man. I've been watching wrestling my whole life. My heart sank. I literally did a gasp, oh my God, the demon's coming, because it would have been so perfect. They showed Finn walking in the back. Yes. So I thought that might have been pre-taped and they're all swerving us. I mean, he commented on it earlier in an interview about whether or not he's going to do it. So when they showed that demon, which was a final image, which is right there in the center, I assumed that we were getting the demon. And when we didn't, it took me out of the match before it even began. I love the match, though, maybe getting ahead of myself, but it took me out of the match that he wasn't the demon, that they did that whole grand shebang and regular Finn Balor comes out. I did not like that.
Yeah, okay. Because I thought the same thing. I was like, yeah, we see Finn walking. We get the dramatic pictures, and then let's cut to the back, and all of a sudden, you know, just a lift of a head, and there's the face paint. You know, he's transformed instantaneously. Okay, I'm glad. I wanted to bring it up, but I thought maybe I'm going out on a limb, and I was...
Not at all. And, you know, I tweeted about it, and it got all kinds of support, so a lot of people, I'm sure, felt that way. I don't know why they would show the demon the way they did. I don't know why they show him, period, but the way they presented that demon made it seem like here comes the demon. Like, that's exactly what they were telegraphing, that entrance.
Okay, well, there's a lot of other good stuff to talk about, so we'll get to Nathaniel Cook, 299, Johnny G is money, Cross versus Johnny G, book it. Well, we'll see. We'll talk about what we could have coming up. Chris P getting ahead of us. Cole at the crossroads. He's been in NXT too long. Again, yeah, Adam Cole, what is his future? We'll get to that here, as that's the next match on tap here. But all right, so we get Cross comes out, Baylor comes out. They give us the main event entrances. I love the ring announcer. I don't remember her name, unfortunately, for NXT, but she's got great gusto.
Yeah.
Does a great job. So this here, again, we talked about earlier, commentary, Alfred. They did, Barrett and Vic and Beth, they did a great job. Some would say it's, okay, you're stating too much of the obvious, but I disagree. I think sometimes you just need to lay this stuff out, and they just kept pointing out Finn Balor, he's trying to lock up. He's putting Cross in these chin locks, and he's laughing at him. He's slapping at him. And they're setting the tone saying, look, Balor said it. He's going to take the opponents to deep water. He is going to wear them out. He is going to blow them up, you know, wear them down on chin locks and get it to the point to where they're just gasping for air. And this continues to happen, and then Cross will explode and come back, but then Balor comes back at it. Ultimately, this match, Alfred, ended up being, I don't know the official time, but I mean, this ended up being much longer than I thought it was going to be, because as I saw that it's not going to end the night, my thought was, okay, Cross is going to maybe borderline squash Finn here. Far from it. And even to a point to where they had me almost thinking, maybe Finn is going to win this. When he countered, hit the coup de grace, he kept working. He's getting liver shots at Cross. And this is the most we've ever seen Karrion Kross sell. Going into this match, mind you, they noted on the graphic here, Karrion Kross is 12-0 in singles matches, has not lost yet in NXT. Finn Balor's 12-1 at takeovers. So this is really a great kind of, you know, a great boxing situation of the main event here. I mean, what did you think of Kross selling, first off? Because I never thought I'd see Karrion Kross sell like this in NXT, but he did. And I was like, wow, like Finn Balor, badass here.
Right. Yeah. No, I didn't like how much he sold, but what I loved is the fact that he got the Terminator treatment. That's what the key was, is that he would sell something would happen, like the liver shots you were talking about, and then he would come back and they would just say on commentary, what is it going to take for this guy to be put down? And he kicked out of the coup de grace, which nobody does. And I just thought both guys were so phenomenal in having a war, just a violent, brutal wrestling match, which was exactly what it needed to be. The storytelling, you're absolutely right, was great, especially with them tying in the fact that Finn Balor cut a promo. And I forgot about this promo because so much happens. We have to cover these two shows in one night, that he did cut in a promo saying that I'm going to make you emotionally, you know, get so wrapped up that you emotionally lose your head and you lose this match. And that's what was behind him slapping him in the face and laughing at him and stuff like that. But once this match really got going, my only complaint about this match was that when Karrion Kross was just grounding and pounding Finn Balor and his face down, I think that would have been a phenomenal finish. If that match was a finish for me, it would have been one of my favorite matches of the year, because I just thought it's something you don't see in WWE. It's something you don't see in NXT. And it looked so violent for Finn Balor to just go limp and Karrion Kross to replicate that ground and pound. I love that.
No,
and I just thought they did a good job making this match violent.
No, I'm absolutely with you, because that was right. That was not too long after where they had me hooked, where I thought, okay, Cross was gearing up for his forearms. He did the TikTok motion. He went to do it. Then Balor hits him with the inverse kick and then ends up going into the coup de grace. I was like, oh my God, this is it. They're actually going to do this. Like, Finn's going to retain. And then no. And then when Scarlett's screaming at Cross and he snaps and he starts doing, yeah, I thought ground and pound, a ref, kind of an MMA finish here.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could have certainly been okay with that. Justin Lopez, 499, saying, yeah, same thing. Finn looks strong as hell in this match, though. Never seen Cross sell so much in a match during his NXT run. So yeah, so we get to the final sequence here. And Cross charges, keeps hitting forearms on Baylor, who's trying to survive, ultimately gets the pin. So again, you know, maybe it could have been stopped a few minutes earlier. Again, X's and O's can be debated upon, but Karrion Kross is your winner. NXT champion now, wins back the title that he never officially lost, had to vacate due to injury. And Alfred, I'm going to make, first off, this was the only option in my mind. If Karrion Kross was, if Karrion Kross was going to be on NXT next week, this was the only option. The only way you have a Karrion Kross not win this is unless Vince has said over here. And so this had to happen.
Yeah, I mean, Finn's had it for long enough. He's been a great, you know, elder statesman of NXT, the guy coming back, winning the title, and just having it for a long time. But now feels like really the beginning of a new era in terms of NXT. And I just want to see Karrion Kross be a dominant champion. I wouldn't mind seeing a couple of squash matches. I know he's a champion, and we expect these world title main events to go a long time. I wouldn't mind seeing a squash match here and there where just Karrion Kross destroys one guy after another. I really think this guy's presentation is so good that – I mean, he can sell. Like, he's a very good seller. He's very good at convincing you that he's in pain, and it's a good part of his game that he has, and it's important. But I don't think he should be doing it that much, and no. I wouldn't mind seeing him be dominant as a world champion because there's money in that.
Yeah, I hate to use Goldberg comparisons because I think he's far more legitimate and bought into the business than Goldberg ever was, but we don't have many undefeated streaks to cite. But yeah, I'm the same way. I think the next few challengers can be people who, again, who have some good win-loss records, so to speak. I know it's not AEW, but yeah, I think you say few and far between that Karrion Kross has taken to that kind of limit. I think it's good. You know, Finn's a guy who he's a former Universal Champion. He's an established guy despite the lack of despite the ebbs and flows. But this has to be few and far between. You can't have Karrion Kross being taken to the limit every NXT. Premium show. Tina Miller, $2. Kross has had to kill the Prince before the Demon King, so she's suggesting this is not over. If you're going to make any case for Finn to have any more matches against Kross, he'd have to transform, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, and if he transformed and Kross beat the Demon, that's huge. I mean, he already kicked out of the coup de grace, so, you know, I don't want to see the Demon lose, but if he lost to Karrion Kross and it's, you know, for the greater good, I'd have no problem with that.
I'll make a bold claim here, Alfred. Tell me how nuts this is. I'm going to say, barring injury, Karrion Kross will be the NXT World Champion until he's no longer in NXT.
Wow.
I can't envision a situation for him to, like, you know, Johnny's become Johnny Takeover, Johnny NXT, and he might make his career there, and as long as he's financially happy that might be fine. I can't see Kross carrying this for 4 or 6 months, dropping it, and then doing something else, or just like I feel like he is the champion in NXT until Raw or SmackDown says you're here. And I don't even know if he drops it necessarily. I could see out of the guidance of protecting him, I could see like an Asuka situation where he never even loses it.
Yeah, I was gonna just bring that up. Like, Asuka never dropped her title, and she walked onto the main roster, and I thought she was a great big star. She didn't let up. I mean, yeah, we had a couple of hiccups with Asuka, and they beat her at WrestleMania 34, which I still haven't gotten over. But Asuka is one of the biggest stars in WWE right now, and it all started with that big win streak that they protected on the main roster, so she was always had credibility.
Yeah. $5 super chat from Ethan Kaufman. This crowd seemed less energized from last night. Walter Ciampa match of TakeOver and possibly the weekend. Well, I mean, I don't know. The crowd sounded fine. I mean, again, I'm just happy to hear any bit of a crowd. It's very possible these are pretty much everybody that was there the night before, so maybe they are a little exhausted, essentially. But again, I'm just happy to have not piped in sound.
Real people. Yeah.
Yeah, right. But real quick, before we move off across, because we're making good time here, I mean, what would you realistically see next? I mean, Johnny Gargano is also a champion. So, and Kross is still, where's Kross? Whose side of the fence? Is he on the heel side? Is he on the babyface side? Where is he?
I like for him to be a heel, and I think Kyle O'Reilly should be next. And honestly, I don't think they should wait too long. This is a story you can tell within the next couple of weeks. You have a TV main event between Kyle O'Reilly and Karrion Kross. And Karrion Kross can destroy Kyle O'Reilly under the guise that he just went through this huge war, almost killed himself against his former best friend. And, you know, maybe he's not 100%. But if they turn that around and did Kyle O'Reilly, who came off this show with a big win in the main event, I think that might be the direction they go.
Very, very interesting pick. All right, well, we'll get to Kyle O'Reilly here in just a second. Stella Justin Lopez, $4.99. Just have him be a surprise draft pick during the draft, and that's how we can accomplish that. I don't want to see Karrion Kross involved in any. We saw a draft last fall, and the amount of people that were drafted that we did not, you know, Andrade, who's now gone, Aleister Black, who we haven't seen. I mean, Nikki Cross. I mean, the draft is not. That's not the answer to this. I mean, when Karrion Kross's time comes, the draft should be no way the entryway for him.
Yeah, that's too regular for a guy like him who's kind of this, just kind of like the supernatural force and has got this right. Grand entrance. You don't want to see some technical transaction that brought him over to Raw or SmackDown.
Right. I don't want to see the black and white of him and Scarlett like I did tonight of him warming up with the punching bag. And then all of a sudden the record scratch, the black and white goes to color, and in walks Adam Pearce going, "You've been drafted to SmackDown, pal."
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Like everything they do with him is meant to be different from everybody else. So to draft him like he's one of everybody else would start off on the wrong foot.
Yeah, very much so. All right. So one of two main events done here. We get another vignette for the Frankie Monet, who, again, we talked about last night. We believe to be Taya Valkyrie, who will see you next Tuesday, coming up here as NXT makes its USA debut on Tuesday nights. All right, so we get into the unsanctioned match between Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. A lot to unpack here again. Alfred and I trying to not make this so much of a rundown, but just trying to make sure we touch on the highlights here. They do give us a video package prior, which Alfred, I don't know about you, but it screamed like just movie trailer.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a good package. I was a little kind of thrown off by the connection they made. Like, you're just like me. You had a shoulder injury while you were champion. I have a shoulder injury. It's like, that's not how I want a main event world title match between these two, you know, brutal warriors being built up. Oh, actually, I was talking about Finn and Karrion Kross. But this movie trailer was actually really good between Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. It wasn't as good as that Prime Target special they did on NXT a couple weeks back, but I thought it got me excited for this match, and they did a good job telling their story.
So let me walk through some elements of the visuals of what we do here. Again, we get the backstage all day. They show them showing up earlier in the day. They show them training all day. Each man is flanked by their own security guards. And those security guards stay with them to the walk-up. Those security guards and joint come out and stand each side of the ramp. Those security guards come in and cut the ring in half. All of it I like. You know, it sells that these two men, they were fighting in a dojo a few weeks, you know, Adam Cole. So yeah, I like the fact they cannot be no eyes can be left you know, not on them and let them come in contact. I like the security. I like the movie trailer. I like the referee. It's an unsanctioned match. He's not in his referee stripes. He's just wearing a black shirt.
Nice touch.
I like the ropes were changed to all black. NXT TakeOver had white ropes all night and the night before. They changed the ropes to black. I like that.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, I like the attention to detail. I hated Adam Cole's music.
Yes.
The music that his I get it. I know that the people out there they're it's the Undisputed Era music. He's not No. The leader of the group gets to take the music when he goes solo. Roman Reigns has the Shield music. Whoever was leading DX can have the DX music.
DX music for a little bit, yeah.
There's plenty of other examples. That's Adam Cole. Adam Cole was the Undisputed Era. He gets the music. Everything is time with the boom and the Adam Cole baby. I mean, it had why would you strip that of him?
Yeah. And The Rock had Nation of Domination music his whole career. They switched it up and stuff like that, but that's the Nation of Domination's music. Like, when you have iconic all-time music, and you're going to make the decision, the bold decision to switch it up, like, whatever comes next has to follow it. And I don't think I ever remember any time where it successfully did. And his new generic theme music with no words to it and just this, it stuck out so much that it's like, this is not the theme music I'm used to with Adam Cole. It doesn't have the boom anymore. It doesn't have any of the cues that people like playing along with. And it was so deflating to see him come out to such generic theme music when he had one of the best theme songs in all of WWE.
And he still did the boom in his entrance, but he had no cue for it.
So awkward.
I don't know. I try not to get into it. I know people were like hung up when Keith Lee's music got changed when he went to Raw. And I didn't die on that hill. I kind of like let it be, but Adam Cole's, I think, is just so much part of his personality, his entrance, so it's just the identity. I don't know. And let's just start to go. Somebody, let's get Jim Johnston back, please.
Yeah. Good Lord. It was so nice. It really was one of the worst theme songs I think I heard all night. I mean, I'm not a fan of Kyle O'Reilly's new theme music, but they're both right down there in terms of new theme songs that are just awful. I really hope that there is some kind of doubling back period where they either choose new theme music for him or just give him back his old theme music, because this is awful.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing this podcast obviously right now, so we're not on the Triple H call, which I presume is going on right at the same time. I would be pressing my star one button right now to tell Paul, ask Paul my number one question. Great show, Paul. Great two nights. Why was there a music change? Who signed off on this? Please tell me it wasn't you.
Yeah. I'm sure he's getting those questions. And you know what? To WWE's credit, I mean, they have been known to kind of listen. And if there is enough pushback, which I don't know what it's like right now on Twitter, but if there's enough pushback against this theme music, which I saw plenty when it first played, they might consider going back to the old theme music. So I'm holding out hope for that.
Yeah, I'm going to text Cole and tell him to you know, do some kind of protest or hold out until the music.
I will not wrestle. Yes,
hold out. All right. So this match goes 30 plus minutes. Good Lord. I mean, let's try to remember some of the big spots here. They pull out a big chain, which this is notable. Earlier on the match, they have this big long chain. Kyle O'Reilly's wrapping around his foot. He gets some shots in Adam Cole's face. That's key. Remember that. That's a key thing to remember. They end up going outside. They end up doing a spot where they powerbomb Adam Cole on the announce desk, which budges none. The announce desk, which is known to be flimsy of all flimsy and just explode on the very look at it, it did not budge at all, and he bounced like a basketball off of it. I mean, you know, we saw all kinds of just brutality with the chairs. There was chairs that had the Undisputed Era logo on it, so a lot of symbolism there. Adam Cole hitting them with the TV monitor. They fight outside. They're up against the plexiglass. They eventually are then in a guillotine. They do like kind of a Bam Bam Taz spot in the metal ramp where they go through and break the metal ramp. God, what else we get? We have a set of pliers and Cole's ready to go at O'Reilly with the pliers. I mean, this thing was just all kinds of neck breakers on chairs and
kind of chains that they had.
Yeah, we're playing up O'Reilly's neck injury and he's not medically cleared. We finally get to, and we can then dive into the psychology of everything. We finally get towards the finish where it looks like Adam Cole has it. Earlier on, even before some of the things I said, Adam Cole hits the Panama City Sunrise. I mean, Kyle O'Reilly is dead, limp to the ground, but Adam had knocked out the referee because the referee was getting in his face. So his own emotion has gotten the better of him. So, you know, Adam Cole, by all accounts, should win this match. Emotions get better of him. It continues to go on. Then we get back, and it looks like Adam Cole is just almost killed Kyle O'Reilly. Even the commentary saying this is just getting uncomfortable. And Kyle O'Reilly can't even stand up, can't even be upright for Cole to hit him with the final knee strikes until finally a little bit of possum, basically, and Kyle O'Reilly starts to reverse, get some submission holds on Cole, and they go back and forth. And what ultimately does it, though, is we will see Kyle O'Reilly get an upper hand. He grabs the chain, once again wraps the chains around his boot, gets up to the top rope, and off the top rope comes down and hits Cole with a chain-wrapped boot, and that's ultimately what's going to get him the pin. Alfred, I mean, this was a historic NXT match. Violent. Caps off a hell of a story that these two have had, a storyline. But I have to say, I was like, why the hell did we use the chain earlier in the match around the boot when that's going to be part of the finish? I thought that kind of like...
And it made it very repetitive, and I mean, it made it frustrating of how long this match went if they were going to just kind of go back to it like that and kind of expose it a little bit, that you would use it and it doesn't work the first time, then you kind of use it the second time. And I just felt like this was a marathon of a match where I was so into it for a lot of it, especially the early parts when they really started breaking out the weapons and doing all these creative spots. I mean, there was a lot of creative stuff that they did with these weapons, but I think it just got self-indulgent. I understand that they needed to have this war. They're telling this story, and this is exactly what I expected, except maybe 10 minutes less. Maybe they could have shaved off a little bit. This match needed editing. I felt like every idea they thought of, they wanted to do. I loved when they went through the stage. That was really a surprise. Like, I did not expect to see that, and they did it perfectly. But this match went way too long. I wish it was shorter because then I would have really enjoyed it more. But it went – as soon as I started thinking, okay, they need to kind of wrap this up, I feel like it went 10 minutes longer than that. But having said that, I love that Kyle O'Reilly won this match. I love that they really did tell an epic story throughout. I just thought that they could have done it with a little more editing.
Yeah, I agree. I'm surprised that we did not see an appearance at all by either of the other two Undisputed Era members. That they did not have any, even if one of them tries to come out and help Cole and one tries to help O'Reilly and then they say no, or I don't know. I was surprised to not see either of them. I did agree with the time. Again, another question I'd love to ask Triple H right now. I almost wonder, because you can make an argument that this match could have happened, but you also could have ended with Cross winning that title, and that would have been, I think, a suffice ending. So I'm curious if Triple H decided to let these guys put Disco on last and say, you know, we don't have the time constraints because we're on the Peacock. So we'll let you go, you know, feel it out. If you feel like you got more in you and if you guys got more, go ahead and we can kind of just feel it out versus go ahead and feel it out. And they go 15 minutes longer than you won, and you got Cross and Balor standing around like Jesus Christ, you know. So I a lot of things like that wonder if they came into play. But
what also plays into the story of the match was that it was unsanctioned, so it technically didn't count. All the stuff they did with the ring, the black rope, stuff like that. It's kind of like this is the bonus that isn't going to go into the win loss record. So I like if the
That's and fair.
I think it's kind of a cue they took from AEW, because when AEW does these unsanctioned matches, it's presented like, okay, like they're going to wrestle and everything, but this is going to be unsanctioned. It's not going to count toward wins and losses. So we're going to do completely different from apart from the show. So if it would have been an unsanctioned match in the body of the show, and then they followed up with another match, that would have been a little weird. So I really didn't have as much of a problem with this going on last. I just, the time, man, like, that's the longest match I've ever seen.
That's actually a fair explanation of it being if it's unsanctioned, it would be weird if you go to unsanctioned and then go back to saying it's. So basically, you're saying NXT just pulled off NXT Underground tonight.
Absolutely, that's exactly what it was. I mean, we didn't get a bouncer. Almost is training for his WrestleMania match, so he couldn't be right here.
That's great. Sean Wiley, $5. Colin O'Reilly saved the pay-per-view match on Sanction. No blood. That's beyond unrealistic and insane. Peacock must have told WWE no freaking blood on the show. I don't know about that, but I will say, and I think I actually saw Raj, our wonderful owner, Raj Geary, saying something similar. And it's when you get into this territory, I mean, there is a certain disbelief that, and again, the length comes into it. Like there are some things that they try to do to each other, and they're trying to again sell the neck and Kyle. Like there's some things after a while, it's like, all right, we just don't need false finishes for that. That just shouldn't be a false finish.
Yeah.
You know, but. Again, I guess we're nitpicking. Let's just enjoy the wonderful stuff they gave us. Nathaniel Cook, $4.99. Imagine Drew cutting a dry promo sometimes later this year, and you see as the old school clock appear, literally time's up for the Drew era. Yeah, I mean, you know, the look. Again, Cross, it's there. In my mind, for as long as he can stay in NXT, that's just borrowed time that Triple H gets to have Karrion Kross because. You know, he's money to be made, you would think, if all things remain healthy. I don't see how the presentation of him and Scarlett doesn't hit a home run on Raw or SmackDown, but we shall see. The super chats here. Chris P, it's WrestleMania season, so we all want to know what's up with Alfred's date. No updates in 2 weeks. Fair.
Wait, you want another update of the date that I had 2 weeks ago? If you want an update on the young woman who I was dating, she is still in my life. She's still very appreciative of how aerodynamic I am. And the next time we do a Manscaped ad, I will be more than happy to talk about my love life and how Manscaped has just turned this thing around. I will tell you, it's funny you asked Chris Pantaleo. I don't know if he got tipped off or something, like somebody stewed me off. But I did just have a manscaping session 2 days ago, and I'm back to being as aerodynamic as ever. I'm getting a lot better at using these tools. They're just phenomenal.
Chris, who are your sources? Who are your sources to know about Alfred's Manscaped?
Who's stooging you off about my area?
Oh, boy. all right, so to wrap it up here. So Adam Cole, he loses. He's getting stretchered out. Kyle O'Reilly stands tall. I mean, my guess, it's just a guess here. I don't think you can have, after having the NXT career that Adam Cole's had, I don't think you can have any other farewell match than that. I don't see how Adam Cole, even if he goes away for 3 or 4 weeks to sell the brutality of this match, he's already been world champion. His group is dissolved. They've had all this. I mean, I don't see how he comes back in 4 weeks and he has something else to do. What's he going to do? Chase the North American title? Yeah. I think that this has to be the end of the NXT line for him.
And we're at the perfect time for people to debut. Like, you know, WWE is just ongoing, but I consider a new season to be after WrestleMania. So this next season that they're going into would be perfect for Adam Cole to just slide right in. I mean, he's done everything in NXT 3 or 4 different times. Like, he's been there, it seems like forever. It's really time. And him being stretchered out in this epic blood feud, this would be a perfect ending for Adam Cole. If he came back to NXT, it would start to feel like, oh my God. So I felt that way the last time he came back. The last time he made a return, I was like, he's still here? What is he doing here? So I'm ready to see him move on.
Chris says, LOL, the Manscaped Observer.
I'm going to trademark that.
That's fun. Yeah, you know, and I've seen some chatter here tonight. Of course, I've heard plenty of on social people having doubts about how Adam Cole would survive on Raw or SmackDown. Is he big enough? This and that. And look, every concern from an NXT talent to how they're going to translate on Raw or SmackDown is valid, because we've seen the biggest of names on NXT get shoved to the side on Raw or SmackDown. And then we've seen performers like Elias, who never got past the mid card in NXT, and who have WrestleMania moments with John Cena and Undertaker. So the formulas are all different of what works in front of the different sized crowds and this and that. But I will say, I always revert back with Adam Cole. He has gotten more so than the average person the endorsement and the under the come sit under my tree for Triple H and Shawn Michaels. And I know Adam a little bit. He's a huge Shawn Michaels fan. So like, I think that tree doesn't get everybody. I mean, they will tutor everybody in the NXT environment, but he's gotten a special pass. So I feel like there's something to that. Shawn was obviously, you know, insanely close with Vince. So I think there's something to that. And I always look back to when they got stuck over in Saudi and they had to like bring NXT guys up to come do some SmackDown or Raw. Adam Cole was in the main event, I believe, both nights of that Friday and that Monday, and he killed it. And so I have to think things like that don't get forgotten of like, okay, he was forced to be put in this position and he delivered. Like I think that helps give some more credibility of he's not going to be chasing for the 24/7 title within a month. We have plans for him. So I hope. Maybe I'm being naive, but
yeah. Listen, there's a lot of concern about Adam Cole with his size, just among fans and how they're assessing the situation. And maybe I'm kind of being naive by saying this, but I have not one single concern about how he's going to fare on the main roster. Maybe I'm overconfident in him. I just do not see him failing at all. I just think he's different. I think he's the exception to the rule of the people who fail on the main roster from NXT. And I just think it's like, you can tell that Shawn Michaels really has a vested interest in this guy. You don't do a stare down with him, which is probably going to lead to nothing. But I think that was just kind of a public endorsement of Shawn Michaels looking at his past self, you know, looking at himself in the mirror in some regards. And just, there's this footage of Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole having this great match from, I believe it was NXT New York, and Shawn Michaels and Triple H are watching backstage. Shawn Michaels is just marking the hell out for everything that's happening in this match. This Adam Cole guy is very talented, and I just think he's going to overcome any type of barriers he has on the main roster.
And he's not just a guy that worked. I mean, he's a guy who, I mean, again, the boom, the charisma, he's got personality for days. He can talk people in the building. He does not have to, you know, bump ROH style every single night to earn his paycheck. And cheap plug, if you want one of the best things I've ever got to produce that's out there, and you can find it on YouTube, open up a new tab, search Adam Cole impersonate Stone Cold Steve Austin. Adam Cole was in the studio with me for a Chair Shot Reality in Pittsburgh a couple years ago, and we did kind of like the name game impersonation, where we pulled a name out of the hat, and we had to do impersonations of wrestlers, and one of the best ones he did, it was he pulled the name Stone Cold, and the topic was Stone Cold on a phone bill, on a high phone bill. And that's just one of many, but I mean, just go watch that. This guy has got charisma for days. So if the opportunity is given, if he's not just immediately thrusted into, or not thrust, if he's not immediately demeaned and demoted into 24/7 stuff, I find it hard for him to fail. Final super chats here, and then we'll get into a news item, and we'll make some WrestleMania predictions here real quick. Sean Wiley, $5. My dream match: Killer Cross versus Walter, Last Man Standing unification match number 2. Killer Cross should be a tweener anti-hero. Yeah, certainly Cross versus Walter. That is maybe that is something in the time of while you have Cross in NXT. Maybe that is something, you know, SummerSlam weekend is technically, that is the TakeOver Mania for them. SummerSlam weekend is that's where TakeOver started. So maybe that's something they can build to there for a big match. You know, tweener, I hate the word tweener. I kind of think there's a fence. You're on one side of the fence or not. I don't know.
Tweener. I think he's destined to be just a phenomenal babyface, and it doesn't have to be a tweener thing. It just, a guy killing people gets over. Like, a guy who's legitimate, who seems like he's like a real badass, if he just goes in there and just beat the hell out of people, people love it. That's a babyface. I mean, some of the best, most effective babyfaces have been that mold, and I'd have no problem seeing that in the future. He still kind of has to feel out this heel thing. I like him as a heel right now, but I think his destiny is absolutely as a babyface.
Jody Sean Jenkins, Canadian 5. We've seen a steady stream of solid talents that don't get over on the main roster besides the rub from Trips and HBK. Why will Cole be different? Well, I mean, I think we just went into it. He's got, you know, he's got a little bit of proven random audition. He's got charisma. I think he also knows how to handle himself. And that's that. And I say that, I say that like where some of the guys in the past who maybe have like, oh, like I'm sitting in catering, I'm not getting this. I think there is that thing. We've heard about it, about Vince, of like where he almost wants to be challenged. I mean, you can't just go in and say, hey, old man, you don't know what you're doing. That's not that. But there, we've gotten enough feedback from people that are there that like he wants to be challenged. Stand up for yourself. Make yourself heard. Go do something that might have to ask for forgiveness rather than the permission. And I think Adam Cole knows that. I think he might have a little bit of, he's going to know how to carry himself to be respectful, but also say, watch this. And tell me that you're not going to use me now.
It doesn't help that, I mean, I hope I'm wrong about this, but it doesn't look like he's going to be able to take that theme music to the main roster, which I think would have been a real help to see Vince McMahon witnessing everybody saying boom and just kind of freaking out over how good that theme music is. But I think he's going to even overcome that. And the Adam Cole, baby, the thing that he has, that Adam Cole, baby, that is a very WWE sports entertainment type gesture and gimmick. And once you see a whole crowd full of people saying Adam Cole, baby, and I think if he's to go on the main roster within the next couple of months, he's going to be have the benefit of having really, really hot crowds, because they're going to start to get people back in the building. And I think for the first couple of months of having fans back in the building, they're going to be hotter than they typically would be. And Adam Cole benefiting from that would make him seem like a bigger star in Vince McMahon's eyes.
Yeah, I mean, you can even go back to some of the takeovers when they were in arenas, you know, and they always do the camera work where they pan out real fast so you can see the arms go up and see everybody do it. I mean, I don't know if we're Raw or SmackDown. I don't know if we're going to get fans back for Raw or SmackDown until probably after SummerSlam, because I think they're in the Thunderdome until SummerSlam, and yeah, it seems kind of like it's hard to do the Thunderdome plus put live people in there. But even such, like, Adam Cole needs to hold out until they give him his music back. He's not walking through the curtain.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. So that's NXT. Two nights, takeover, stand and deliver. Very much did deliver. Again, like I said at the very beginning, I think night one, Alfred more consistently here the whole time. But I thought night two, the highs are maybe even higher.
Yeah. No, night two was very, I mean, night one might have been my favorite TV wrestling show of the year, and one of the best NXTs ever done. Night two was very, very good. And, you know, I love this show on night two. And you know, there were a lot of very good highs, and I just really thought that they worked their asses off. It seemed like a show that was trying to compete with night one, and they did. They absolutely did compete with night one.
Sure, and it should be, let me actually see if I can pull it over quick enough without delaying this. So we, you know, we talked about last night, you know, how good, we're talking about last night, how good night one was for NXT, and of course it was going up against AEW for the last time on their Wednesday Night War, and they ended up beating AEW in the total viewership, but that those numbers were only based on USA. That didn't account for whatever else they might have had on Peacock, so I couldn't get the numbers fast enough. I don't want to stall, but I thought that was interesting. That's kind of a nice little way for them to go out. They win in the viewership, and then it's like, oh yeah, we got more that we just don't even have accounted for and reported. So
yeah, I think it was 768 for NXT, and I think it was like 688 for AEW. And AEW didn't do very good numbers. They've been kind of struggling the last couple of weeks. Last week they did their worst number in the 18 to 49, and then this week was their second worst number of the year. The first time they've dropped below 700,000 since they competed with the Insurrection. You know, so AEW is kind of going through it right now.
For sure. All right. One news item we want to bring up here before we go to our WrestleMania predictions. Nick Khan, who is a WWE president and chief revenue officer, he was on the Colin Cowherd podcast to promote WrestleMania 37. And he had this to say about Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey, saying that he said this about, I think, actually specifically Lynch, saying that she will be coming back at a certain point in time in the not too distant future. I believe that also applied as well to Ronda Rousey. So, does that mean again night after Mania? Does that mean once we have fans back, what is not too distant future? We'll have to see, but at least acknowledging that, you know, Becky Lynch, who of course has been away since she got pregnant and had a child, and then Ronda, who has not been around since she lost at the last WrestleMania that was in front of fans 2 years ago, that they still of course are with the company, and there are plans for them. So something to keep your eye on. You can get more of the quotes in context over on Wrestling Inc. All right.
I just want to say really quick, like, I really hope that they do hold out until fans come back, because that's not something I want to see given away in the Thunderdome. Like, Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch, those returns are too big for the Thunderdome.
Yeah, I mean, Becky's so interactive, and, you know, the man gimmick. I could see them pulling the trigger on her coming back earlier, or coming back before that. But yeah, I think you got to wait for Rousey and the fans. I think Rousey coming out into just the Thunderdome, there's going to be a miss there. But we shall see. All right, Alpha and I will be back Saturday night after night one of Mania. So we'll be able to talking either gloat or have to own up to how correct or incorrect our predictions are. But let's go through here real quick, Alfred, and go through the two nights of WrestleMania, give our predictions. All right, so night one, we got Sasha Banks, champion, defending against Bianca Belair, of course, two over characters. Also, the history we're making here of the first time two black females in a WrestleMania match, a title match, one of the premier matches here. So where do you come in on this one?
I think this is Bianca Belair. I mean, the story that they're telling hasn't been the greatest, but Bianca Belair is kind of on a rocket ship right now. She won the Royal Rumble, and Sasha Banks has finally had a proper run where she's been kind of a dominant world champion, and she's gotten some time with the belt, so now's the perfect time to drop it, and I really hope it's Bianca Belair. I mean, it's going to be great to see them wrestle. I think they're going to wrestle a great match that is deserving of a better type of story that they should have been telling, but I think the match will be just fine, and I think Bianca Belair is going to win.
Yeah, I agree. It's been a wonky build. They haven't, they've had them lose and do some things that are not normally advised on the road to Mania. But I agree. I think Bianca wins. And I also am going to predict that this is the first match. I'm going to predict this is the first entrances you get to see fans. It's going to be these two girls coming out. So
you could argue that's better than the main event. That I would, if put myself in the wrestler's shoe, I would rather go on first and be the first match in front of people than go on last either night.
I could if they follow through with the rumor we've heard of not doing a pre-show match and allowing this to be the first time we see the entranceway lit up and them doing the entrance, I absolutely agree. These two girls are the perfect entrances to do it, and that's maybe a bigger honor. I mean, let me put it this way. I think either this match kicks off the show or Drew versus Lashley kicks off the show.
Sure.
And Drew's the first one who gets to come out.
Yeah,
and whichever one doesn't start the show ends the show. So if Drew starts the show, I think Sasha and Bianca end it. I mean, I think that's just where – that's where you bookend is on those two.
Right.
So speaking of Drew versus Drew challenging, trying to get the title back from Bobby Lashley, I mean, this has got Drew written all over, right? It's him to get the moment that he didn't get to have last year in front of fans, right?
I mean, it does. I would love to see Bobby retain. I just love what they're doing with him, but I just – seeing that they just randomly broke up the Hurt Business, they've got him with Baron Corbin, it just feels like they're trying to get people against Bobby Lashley. So I think this is, and Drew would deserve it. It's not that I'm against Drew winning. I do feel bad that the guy didn't get his moment, and I think they've done a great job with Drew McIntyre as a babyface. I just hope we get a really good match. And listen, there is some uncertainty as to who would win this match for me. So that I think is going to help this match. They've done a good job for the most part. I think they've got a little too long or had a little too much time with this feud because they broke up the Hurt Business. But yeah, I do think that Drew McIntyre is going to win, unfortunately.
I think Drew's going to win. But I mean, I get what you're saying about Bobby. Had they not broken up the Hurt Business, you could have convinced me that like Bobby's got more of a chance here, that maybe Bobby carrying around that championship and the way he's being held, and maybe Vince looks and goes, yeah, this is where Bobby Lashley should be. He's our champion. But the fact that he did decide just to cut the Hurt Business like he did, and reportedly MVP and such, people were fighting him on this, like, what are you doing? And he just dug his heels in. I mean, that to me says like he's got his mind made up. That title's coming off of you, pal. And then what's after that?
Yeah, I mean, as recently as 3 weeks ago, I mean, before they broke up the Hurt Business, certainly I thought there's no way Bobby should lose this match. There's no way I see him losing this match, but I definitely see it now.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we go another women's match here. We got Tag Team Turmoil, Lana and Naomi versus Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose versus the Riot Squad versus Natalya and Tamina, the gimmick here. Whoever wins gets to have a match on night two against Nia and Shayna. So who out of these four teams do you see getting to have a second Mania payday?
I mean, I've been hearing rumblings of Bayley and Charlotte might get together and they might find a way to swerve us because, I mean, they're the only two who don't have anything advertised. I can't see Bayley not being part of WrestleMania, and they're really kind of keeping it hush-hush. But if I have to choose between those four, I would say Carmella and Billie Kay because it's so new and I could see something happening with Reginald, which they haven't paid off. You know what? I'm going to stick with Bayley and Charlotte. I think we get a swerve.
Well, mind you, we're making these predictions right now on a Thursday night. So maybe tomorrow on SmackDown, Charlotte shows up and inserts herself. And so who knows? I don't know where to go here. I'm going to go Lana and Naomi just because like Lana's had this long standing thing with Nia and Shane. I just feel like that's maybe that's like a layup there. Plus, we're in, you know, they're in Florida. Naomi's from the area. Lana's got history, and, you know, she went to Florida State. I don't know. Trying to find connections. All right, we got New Day, Kofi and Xavier Woods up against AJ Styles and Omos. So this will be the first TV match for Omos. I know he might have done some NXT Florida house shows,
stuff, but not on TV.
So I mean, good Lord, what a first stage! We're bringing the fans back, and you're the big sumbitch that's got to go. You know, that's got to go on a Mania. I mean, I got to think this is AJ and Omos winning. I don't see them losing. And I got to think this is Omos gets the pin, right?
Yeah, it has to be AJ and Omos. I'm very excited to see Omos' debut because I think they've done a good job with him as a television character up until the whole Mauve thing. I don't like the Mauve giant thing, but I do like Omos. He's very impressive to look at. I mean, I think I was talking to you guys about this. I was watching a lot of wrestling over the holidays, and we were watching TLC, and I was watching with my family. They were just there. He's the one guy where they just stopped and they're just like, who in the world is that guy? And I'm just very excited for Omos. I think, you know, maybe he's green and whatnot, but he's with one of the best wrestlers who've ever done it. And I think AJ and Omos are going to be very fun as tag team champions, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's the last guy to be as legitimately tall as him is a mix between the Great Khali and Giant Gonzalez. Yeah. But like you said, neither of them got to sit next to AJ Styles every night. Actually, the one thing that probably hurts Omos is just the situation of, he gets to see AJ every week at TV and AJ doing his thing. If we were in a normal circumstance where he was on the road and AJ was doing house shows two or three nights a week and almost really got to watch the same match every night and got to really pick the brain and not just see a TV match where they're more on TV time cues, I think that would help him even more. So I'll be, you know, I'm sure he's doing Performance Center stuff, but yeah, I mean, I this has to be all about Omos at the end of the day and crowning him as a new big deal here. Cesaro versus Seth Rollins.
This is kind of a tough one. I see Seth Rollins winning. I do see him getting spun a bunch because that's what this has been built around. So they'll probably do, like, maybe he'll do a record 30 times around, whatever the record is. But I do see Cesaro winning this match.
You see Cesaro winning?
No, I'm sorry. Seth Rollins winning this match. Seth Rollins.
I agree. I'd love to see Cesaro win, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Seth Rollins.
Okay, and we got Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon's steel cage match.
Braun Strowman. Let's just go with Braun Strowman. I mean, he should win this match. I know there's going to be a lot of outside interference or whatnot. This has just been a nightmare of a feud. I'll go with Braun Strowman. Why not?
I love Shane and I love Braun, but I am so, I'm so disinterested in this. But yeah, I'm going to go with Braun. It should be Braun. Yeah, I guess. All right, and finally, The Miz and John Morrison against Damian Priest and Bad Bunny. I'm more looking forward to this match, both because of my boy Damian Priest being in the match and getting a Mania match, and because I legit am curious to see how good Bad Bunny's going to do, because all signs point towards he's going to be one of the better celebrity wrestlers ever.
Yeah, I'm going with Bad Bunny and Damian Priest, and I'm back in this feud because of that promo Bad Bunny cut this past Monday on Raw, which is like, where the hell did this come from?
Yeah.
Like, this guy has had this in him. Like, I don't think it was like a particularly great promo, but it was leaps and bounds past what I thought Bad Bunny.
You felt it.
Character. Exactly.
You felt it.
When I say promo, it's like that Jericho promo last night where I felt it in my loins. Like, this guy was pouring his heart out. As a guy who respects wrestling and just the character they presented, this guy's driving around his Bugatti and it's like, this is supposed to be a babyface. And that promo completely turned everything around for me. And I mean, I'm with it. I'm with it. And I think Bad Bunny is going to surprise some people as to what he can do. And yeah, I think Bad Bunny's definitely going to stand tall.
I agree. Okay. So tonight too, so Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, they go against whoever. I mean, is there any chance Jax and Baszler loses to whoever the challengers are?
I think so. I think whoever the challenger are going to beat Dax and Baszler.
Okay.
They've got something planned. There's something they're not telling us. I think something's going to happen. I think it's going to be Charlotte and Bailey, but something seems fishy about what they're doing on night one and night two with these tag team titles.
All right. We'll put a button in that and we will address that. We'll address as much as we can Saturday. And I'll text you Sunday after it goes down.
Right.
Matt Riddle, your U.S. champion, up against Sheamus.
I see Sheamus winning this match. I just think, Riddle's been good as a comedy character. I'm not good in that I enjoy it. I just think, like, that's the role they've given him, and he's just committing to it. And I just think that this is the time that they beat him. Listen, he's had the title for a while. He wasn't originally supposed to win it. I think that was supposed to be Keith Lee. So I just think that this is the time that they decide to beat him and have Sheamus run of the U.S. title for a bit, because Sheamus has been great. I think Sheamus, ever since he started feuding with Drew McIntyre, he's been one of my favorite guys in or out of his feud with Drew McIntyre. I think Sheamus has been phenomenal in terms of like an unsung hero of this pandemic wrestling era.
Yeah, I mean, Sheamus is always stellar, but I'm going to disagree. I'm going to say Matt Riddle. I think, as weird and goofy and like, I feel like there's been a lot of high references on Raw and then even the Hall of Fame. So I don't know if Vince just discovered that weed's becoming legalized in more states or what, but I don't know what it is, but I think Matt, I think this is going to be hard hitting as these two are going to do. They don't know how to do anything else but to hard hit. But I think Riddle's going to win this. I think this match is meant to be like, again, Riddle's the goofy stoner, but he's the goofy stoner who he can still kick your ass. And so I think that'll be a solidification of that. Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn, and Logan Paul is in the mix here.
This has got to be Kevin Owens, I think. And I think Sami Zayn gets knocked out, a la Mike Tyson, Shawn Michaels. I've absolutely loved Sami Zayn in how he's promoted this documentary. Like, I really want to see this documentary. I think it's a good thing that they've got Logan Paul, but I don't know if that's going to be a big difference maker in terms of driving people to Peacock. It didn't make any difference with the viewership. But I think Kevin Owens is going to win. And I think he's going to get his dive off of that thing, the pirate ship that he wanted to dive off last year.
Yeah. And pictures have already leaked of the set of overhead pictures have leaked. And like, they're doing kind of like what they did in Orlando several years ago, where the entranceway is actually on like the second level of the bowl of the football stadium. Where the pirate ship is, it's on like the second level mezzanine. The entranceway is being built off that, so you're going to see another high steep ramp and entrance. So yeah, that it certainly seems like that's where we're headed. The Logan Paul thing, you're right, it really didn't seem to move the needle in viewership, and like I'm not the most in touch with, I'm not subscribing or watching Logan Paul's YouTube. I don't feel like I've heard a buzz of like, I don't feel like he's like Bad Bunny has moved a needle. There's obvious measurement to that. He's grabbed attention on different platforms. I don't feel like Logan Paul's, and maybe it's because it's been kind of rushed and done last minute. Bad Bunny's at least been in a decided storyline since the Rumble, but I don't quite see the Paul appeal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how this came together, but Logan Paul is like a legitimate pay-per-view draw. He's a guy that he has been able to translate those subscribers into, you know, I think it was like 1 million buys he did for that last fight that he did against Nate Robinson. And I mean, I would much rather see him in a feud where he's actually in a wrestling match that they built up. I would like to see what he would do for WWE's viewership and for their Peacock subscription if there was a big Logan Paul match. But him just being kind of a celebrity guest isn't doing it for wrestling fans.
Yeah. All right, Big E, your Intercontinental Champion up against Apollo Crews in the very curious Nigerian drum fight.
It's insane that this is happening in 2021. Apollo Crews kind of has to win this match because we don't know what it is. Maybe they'll have some rule that he's able to exploit to win this match. Why not? Apollo Crews wins the night. I think this match, there's a danger that on Twitter they might kind of crucify this match and why are we doing a Nigerian drum fight, and that might overtake the match itself, but I see Apollo Crews winning.
Yeah, I mean, it falls in the same line of like Punjabi prison match. I'm all for Apollo Crews winning because, okay, so this is supposed to be like his match. Maybe this becomes a gimmick match that he owns and like sticks around. You know, Hell in a Cell stuck around, Inferno match, Buried Alive, different, again, a lot of these are takers, but like, some matches do stick around. They do somehow click, and I'm all for Crews getting a push, and I'd be all for Crews getting this mid-card title if that also then signaled Big E finally moving to the top of the card. Sure. If Big E comes into this new WWE calendar year and can make a case and get a number one contendership and start chasing whoever the world champion is. So if that's what it comes to, I'm all for it.
I can absolutely see that.
Okay, The Fiend versus Randy Orton. And by all accounts, this is not going to be Hocus Pocus Firefly Funhouse. By all accounts, the 25,000 fans that night are going to see this live, which, you know, look, Alfred, we've set people on fire. They've been a lot of stuff, and the verbiage going into this, Alexa is like, Randy, legend killer, you're going to die. Like, what the hell could they do that could cap this off that they can pull off live? They can't do a lot of camera tricks of what they've been able to do in a close set of the Thunderdome.
This is the most confusing thing this entire WrestleMania weekend is that, I mean, not only is it a live wrestling match, it's a wrestling match. It's not no disqualification. There's no stipulation. Of all the crazy stuff they've been doing, this is going to be the resolution, is these two guys are just going to get in some locks and they're going to mat wrestle. And like, I don't understand why this is a wrestling match. I mean, this, you know, we've heard the conjecture in terms of people hating this and just all the crazy things that they've done, the supernatural.
And I love it, mind you, this is some of my favorite stuff. I get into the magic.
I'm very much able to suspend my disbelief, and I haven't been as egregious. You know, I've defended it. This is a hill I'm willing to die on. I've defended this feud and parts of this feud. I know that there has been some holes and whatnot, but I'm kind of confounded that this is going to be a wrestling match. I don't know what they'll be able to do. You know that there's going to be some lighting effects and stuff like that, but I just feel like this match is in danger of getting turned on by this live crowd if they try to get too creative with it. But I definitely see The Fiend winning.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think about, I mean, it's pre-Fiend. It was old Bray Wyatt, but I think about Bray Wyatt and Orton at Orlando at Mania several years ago, and like they cut to like the ring had like an LED light, you know, like there was like work, like there's all kinds of special effects, and I can remember being live in the crowd there, and it did not come off well.
No,
you know, I don't remember going back and seeing what it looked like on TV, but it did not come off well live. So again, the fact that this is gonna be live, and like, you know, I get Randy Orton, he just spoke about it on Austin's podcast, like how much he misses the fans, and Orton had the tall task of having to do those matches with Edge last year, greatest wrestling match ever with no fans. So like, I get it, he wants fans, so I get him maybe saying, no, don't put me in a pre-tape situation, I want to go out and be in front of 25,000 fans. But like, what the hell are you gonna go out there, like, what's the payoff, how do you end this? So big on the hook there. I'm gonna guess that the Fiend's back. He's gonna like somehow put this to rest.
Yeah, I mean, I am very, very. If nothing else, I'm very curious. They do have my interest in terms of what they're gonna do to live up to all this crazy build. Because I mean, we've seen everything. They've done everything in terms of building this matchup, from bile to pentagrams to fire. And the culmination is just, all right, guys, wrestle. So
yeah,
we'll see. I mean, they're both fine. I mean, they're capable of having a fine match. Just that's just not the story you're telling, though.
Yeah, right. All those things, pentagram, demonic, fire. Hey, make sure you get a snug lock up there when you guys get going.
Grab a hold, brother.
Grab a hold. All right, Asuka defending her title against Rhea Ripley. Again, this is Thursday night. That's what we know now. We still have a SmackDown to go. Perhaps the match gets changed. Whether who walks out as champion on that side? Is Asuka walking out as champion?
I think it's Rhea Ripley. I know that she did get heat on the go home show, and so, you know, the way WWE books, the person who kind of goes over on the show before usually does a job, but I can't see two WrestleManias in a row where they've just rolled out Rhea Ripley and she loses. I mean, that will kind of make WWE fans and audiences are about wins and losses, and that's kind of how they promote their stars. So if Rhea Ripley is seen as this person with these two major losses in her first two WrestleManias, it's like, well, why the hell should we care about her? So I think it would do her a big disservice if they beat her.
Yeah, if it remains Asuka versus Rhea, I think Rhea gets it. I think you're right. But if they throw us the story in the next 48, 72 hours of Charlotte's in this and it's a triple threat, then I think Charlotte wins it. And the story is 2 years in a row, Rhea has been, you know, Rhea can't get past that Charlotte obstacle in Mania. And probably next year we have something of Rhea and Charlotte. I think that's the story that we get. So
okay, I can see that, but Rhea Ripley is clearly a heel now. So if she just kind of turns heel and loses, I don't think people would be behind her wanting to chase or whatnot. I mean, I'm sure the hardcore fans would, but it would be a weird thing to do to somebody who just kind of turned heel and is they're just now starting to debut on the main roster.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I guess that's true. She. Yeah. All right. Well, then I'm gonna go on the assumption that Charlotte's not into this, and this is it. This is just a straight Rhea Ripley. It's her coming out. It's her win.
Yeah.
Okay, and finally, last but certainly not least, the triple threat match for the Universal Championship. Champion Roman Reigns, of course, with Paul Heyman, up against Edge, up against Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan, once again, back in a WrestleMania, I think this is his third WrestleMania World title match. Probably the second time he's going to be truly in the main event in the truest of the definition. This is exciting, however, because, I mean, God, you can make a case for any of the three.
Yeah. That this is the match that I'm the number one match I'm looking forward to, just based on the fact that I have no idea what's going to happen. I can see any of these guys winning, and I'm very much looking forward to this match. I think the crowd's going to be very hot for this match. And I really want to see Roman Reigns win. Again, I'm not confident in my prediction, but I'm going to take Roman Reigns because that's what I want to see more than anything. But I could see either of these guys winning.
Yeah, I can make a case for anybody. If I'm booking SmackDown ahead of time, like I said, I love to see Big E get in the world title picture, but I also think Big E getting the world title picture doesn't necessarily have to happen ASAP. You can maybe try to dangle it until Money in the Bank or until SummerSlam. I don't know. I think part of me would love to see Edge. It would be cool to see Edge one more time. But yeah, Reigns has done such wonderful work as the heel with Heyman. D. Bry getting it, it's good, but I think if Brian gets it, I think it's a very quick thing. I think Brian drops it again within a few months. I don't see it as anything long lasting. This is hard to nail down. I'm gonna go with Reigns just on the fact of like I'm gonna go on Reigns, but if this ends the show, like how does Reigns if Reigns holds on to it, like how do you end the show and make that a big unless somebody shows up unless a Cena or a Brock or somebody shows up and stares him down or declare I don't know like this feels like it could be a case for Reigns, but again I'm thinking this is probably gonna be the very last match on this two night Mania. This has got to end strong.
Yeah. So who do you think gets pinned in this match?
Well, right. That's what I'm thrown by. I'm thrown by. I don't know. I really don't know. This has been the most. I have not been as stumped, I don't think, on a WrestleMania main event. Yeah. Maybe since 14, because it was just like they're not actually going to let Bryan win. You know, he's got to get through Triple H and Batista and I'm truly kind of like stumped on this one.
Like, I think that's a good thing. I think that's a very good thing.
No. I'm probably stumped because I think they've probably been stumped. I don't even know.
Yeah, they kind of backed into it. It's not like they've told this great story where now it's just that like they had to turn Edge heel. So now there's this component where there's three guys in the match. But the fact that they're here now and it's a main event WrestleMania match and you don't know who's going to go over and that's how they're going to close the weekend out. I think that's a good, very good situation to be in.
Yeah, Yeah, right. I can see any one of these three winning, and like all of a sudden Brock Lesnar's music hits, and now like Heyman's standing there torn between like Reigns and Heyman, it's gonna need something like that. I feel that that's what I feel like it's gonna need. But that's a good thing. I like it. So we'll see. So that's it. Gonna do it for tonight here. So we got SmackDown tomorrow night. Alfred, are you on tomorrow night?
No, not tomorrow night.
No, I think tomorrow night. Yeah, I think tomorrow is Glenn, maybe Issa, some combination. Alfred and I, Saturday Night After Mania. I think Raj is with Matt and Glenn Sunday. So the Wrestling Inc. crew, we've got you. I'll be on Busted Open Friday morning. Check it out there, 10 a.m. Eastern with Mark Henry and DeLaRocca. Listen anytime on demand. Alfred, you got anything you want to plug? What's going on Forbes.com?
Just read my articles on Forbes. I'll be talking about WrestleMania all weekend. And then watch me on NPR this weekend. I'll be on Weekend Edition. Listen to me on NPR with Scott Steinman talking about WrestleMania.
That's awesome. Do you know what time, day and time?
Saturday morning. It comes on really early Saturday, so it'll be available Saturday. I'll tweet it out and whatnot. So Saturday, probably around 10 a.m.
Good stuff. So Alfred on Forbes and NPR. Like I said, I'm here in Wrestling Inc. We'll be doing Busted Open on SiriusXM tomorrow. We're everywhere. Tune in. Thanks for all the super chats. Thanks for all the other chats and everybody being engaged. Subscribe, like, leave a comment, do all that good stuff. We appreciate it. Again, we'll be back Saturday night after Mania Night 1.